Good afternoon, Gavilan State Affairs Inn at 3:01 p.m. Welcome, Representative Kaufman. So we have five members present, myself, Chair Kreis Tompkins, going from left to right, Representative Kaufman, Representative Tarr, Representative Story, and Representative Klayman. Welcome, everybody. No excused absences today. Thank you, as always, to Sophia and House Records and Tom at the LIO office for facilitating today's meeting. And we've got two bills on today's agenda, House Bill 18 relating to National Board Certification and House Bill 62 relating to marriage witnesses and solemnization. And for House Bill 18, this is the third hearing. There's an amendment deadline yesterday, and there were three amendments submitted. At this time, we'll take up amendments. Two of the amendments, and let the record reflect, Representative Eastman joined us at 3:03, bringing us up to six members strong, and Representative Vance also at 3:03, giving us full strength. So that takes us to amendment number one, or amendment A.1 on House Bill 18. And maybe I'll just take a brief at ease for let everybody settle in here. Going back on the record, so we were at amendments for House Bill 18. Representative Eastman, Amendment A.1.
Thank you. Yes, I move Amendment Number 1.
And I'll object, Representative Eastman.
All right. Amendment 1 would make it clear that the prominent location referred to that the school is in charge of would include a school-managed internet website. I know it probably could be read to include that right now, but we just wanted to make it clear that that would include a website, and we would encourage that, you know, if this does pass, that the school would use their website to promote that information.
Thank you, Representative Eastman. I'll speak in opposition to this amendment, and one of the central purposes of this bill is to sort of uplift and highlight National Board Certification and the excellent educators who've obtained that certification. And one of the key ideas, even though it's a very small and subtle thing, is to have that physical, visual recognition that, you know, these educators in these schools have gotten that recognition. And we did that in consultation with superintendents and school boards and teachers, and, you know, didn't want it to be an onerous from the top requirement. And fortunately, the bill has the support of all of those stakeholders. So I'd feel differently if there was opposition from the schools and the teachers and the superintendents, but fortunately there's support. So given that, I think it's not dissimilar to you know, some of the thinking about with recognizing veterans, for instance, and some of the license plates that recognize veterans. You know, it's visual, physical thing, and that's, I think, one of the reasons why the legislature has created those, for instance, special license plates to have that, and it's not just a registry online. And so I think this is sort of a analogous thought as far as recognizing excellent teachers. So for those reasons, I will oppose this amendment. But I'll maybe open it up to other questions or comments from the committee, and then allow you wrap up, Representative Eastman. Other questions or comments? Representative Story.
Thank you, Chair Kreis Tompkins. Rep Story. One thought I had is, and I do see that this bill goes to the Education Committee after this, and so we will have a chance to speak to all the stakeholders in the group, and I can bring up this point for discussion to see their thoughts on that at this time, and I'll plan on doing that.
Other questions or comments? Wrap up. Oh, sorry, Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just was going to comment. I don't sort of disagree with the sentiment here, but then in talking with the bill sponsor, because he, you know, felt that it was more geared towards having that physical recognition, I just wanted to express that's, I'm going to, you know, stick with the sponsor's intent on this one. And I just wanted to express that's why I wouldn't be supporting the amendment. But I wouldn't, I don't, I'm glad to hear it's going to education, because in addition to being prominently placed, you know, I think the website would be another place to include that, so that people, you know, wherever they're seeking information about the school their student's going to attend, they would see that and be able to understand that those teachers of excellence are there. But I do think, and after 22 years of teaching, maybe this is why, you know, when you walk in and you see, you know, you walk in, you see different credentials, and it's a recognition of, you know, what people have achieved, and that makes a difference. So I'm going to support you.
Thank you, Representative Tarr. Representative Vance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a question for about this amendment. It does not exclude the physical location, but it includes being able to be displayed on the website. Is that the accurate assessment?
Right.
Follow-up.
Representative Vance.
This is more of a statement in support of this, is that as a homeschooling mom and my children, specifically my oldest, who is now a senior, does all of her work online, and she deals with the school's website for forms and things like that. She does the college websites, and as a parent dealing with the online education, I'm referred to the school's website to go get forms and things like that all the time, where I'm not going physically in the building. So I think by adding this, this expands the prominence of that recognition that perhaps that we're looking for, especially in light of COVID, where so many parents are geared towards the websites for information instead of having to have the in-person contact. Don't want to exclude the physical prominence, but the internet is now becoming one of our very immediate points of entry into the school system, and think that this could be a valuable asset to see some of the recognition of some of these teachers that maybe don't have that direct one-on-one contact with the students.
Thank you. Representative Kaufman.
Thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to, now I think Rep. Sarah Vance has just really hit most of the points that I was going to make. I like lowering burdens, and you know, this just makes it clear that that burden is can be made a little bit easier, and it helps with communication. So I just want to, you know, you caught most of it, so thank you.
Wrap up, Representative Eastman.
Thank you. Yeah, I'll try and to respond to some of the great comments. So, you know, it occurs to me, just as I'm listening to the comments, that to require a physical, you know, name and space may have a couple of potentially unintended consequences. One of them I was just thinking of now is that, you know, there may be a scenario in the future where we have, you know, public schools which, you know, maybe there is a public school that has, you know, an exclusively virtual presence, and I can't predict the way the future will go, but it's possible that it would, in which case a purely virtual school trying to satisfy this requirement may be problematic. Find that interesting. But maybe more to the immediate concerns, you know, I could think of some scenario where there might be a teacher, for whatever reason, who just didn't want their name posted. Maybe that's not why they got the certification. And now we're telling the school that regardless, that name needs to be posted and in a physical place. I could, I mean, if it's such a good idea, I guess why would we be forcing a school to do that? You know, if it's a good idea and they want to do it already, maybe we should just, you know, allow them that opportunity rather than saying that regardless, you will do this. And then there's the issue of then it becomes, I guess, effectively an unfunded mandate at that point. And I'm sure it's not going to be a large cost, but but just on principle, the unfunded mandates is also a concern. So the amendment was to lower that threshold, like the previous speaker said, and I continue to support it. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll maintain my objection. Will the clerk please call the roll on passage of amendment number 1A.1?
Representative Tarr.
No.
Representative Story.
No.
Representative Klayman.
No.
Representative Vance.
Yes.
Representative Kaufman.
Yes.
Representative Eastman.
Yes.
Chair Christ-Hopkins.
No.
3 yeas, 4 nays.
The vote of 3 yeas, 4 nays, amendment number 1A.1 fails. Which takes us to the second amendment today, amendment number 2A.4. Representative Eastman.
Thank you, and I will move amendment number 2.
Object.
There's an objection, Representative Eastman.
Thank you. The amendment before us would add about 7 different words, and that would be that not only would we be dealing with the National Board of for Professional Teaching Standards, but also the requirement could be satisfied in the future by another organization that is also offering that National Board certification to teachers. I don't have any particular other organization in mind, but it seems like it could be prudent to allow for that to take place so that if there is another organization, either now or in the future, that we wouldn't have to come back and change the statute just to allow sort of that equal competition between those different groups, if, again, if the public school is going to be doing this.
Thank you, Representative Eastman. I'll speak in opposition. I think all things considered that this would probably, well, in the present moment, this would have no effect on the implementation of the bill because there isn't another entity that provides National Board certification, and the organization presently named in the bill has been doing it for decades, and there hasn't been any emerging competitors, so to speak, and I don't think anyone in the education community anticipates it as much, but theoretically, anything is possible. Pigs could grow wings and fly at some point as well. But I think it's sufficiently unlikely in this moment that I think it just makes sense to keep the bill tight and clean. And there's ample precedent of naming different nonprofit entities in state statute. And fortunately, that does generally work pretty well. So for those reasons, I oppose the amendment. But other questions, comments from the committee? Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the intent, but one thing that made me comfortable about this is just a lot of the stakeholder involvement, and seems like a lot of deep understanding and familiarity with the program and comfort with the kind of requirements you have to go through, how rigorous it is to achieve that. What concerns me here is sort of, the possibility of National Board certification, the same kind of thing that can happen with universities. If it's, privately run, something can start. I guess for me, I would want those same stakeholders to have the opportunity to weigh in and approve that that certification actually was meaningful. But I think if we put this in place, if that just existed, they would have that. And I guess that's what makes me uncomfortable with it. It's just sort of not knowing then kind of what that might entail and whether it truly, is a something that we both believe is a good, kind of investment for our educators in terms of what they would learn, and then also that we would want to highlight that. That's my concern with it today, but I appreciate the forward thinking because it gave me a chance to sort of think that through and just sort of contemplate those different possibilities.
Other questions or comments from the committee? Representative Kaufman.
Thank you. I see where an amendment such as this allows, again, more local control, the ability if a school board were to say that they have cause to go with another certifying board, if one were to exist. As things happen now, they happen pretty quickly. Our times are changing faster than ever. And I thought, you know, when I heard this, that that might be a concession to that, to the future. Thank you.
Seeing no other comments, questions, and wrap up, Representative Eastman.
Thank you, through the chair. Now, for the record, my, you know, for if I was just to speak for myself, I don't think that putting the particular name of a private organization into statute in this case is ideal. I think that that does designate a particular organization when it's not necessary to for us to do so. But I offer the amendment in sort of as a concession for those who want to do that, that there be, you know, this other space provided so that for whatever period of time this statute lasts, if it does pass into law, that we aren't precluding inadvertently that space from other, you know, other private organizations who might also be of benefit to teachers and to these schools. So I do offer the amendment to, in that sense as a concession, though if it was just me, I probably would just say let's not actually list that or any other private organization in this statute. Thank you.
Noted. And Representative Klayman, do you maintain your objection?
Yes.
Will the clerk please call the roll on passage of Amendment Number 2A.4?
Representative Eastman.
Yes.
Representative Tarr.
No.
Representative Story.
No.
Representative Klayman.
No.
Representative Vance.
Yes.
Representative Kaufman.
Yes.
Chair Christ-Tompkins.
No.
3 yeas, 4 nays.
By a vote of 3 yeas, 4 nays, passage of Amendment Number 2A.4 fails. And that takes us to Amendment Number 3A.5 from Representative Kaufman. Representative Kaufman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and recognize this is my first amendment ever, so it's this is kind of fun. And again, this amendment is offered with the concept of local control, that local school boards, you know,
yeah,
as
order,
I...
Mr. Chair, I think he needs to move the amendment before
oh,
he can...
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. So I vote, I move this amendment. Is that the correct language?
Yeah, or Representative Kaufman, yeah, movement number 3 or amendment A.5. Yeah.
Okay. I move amendment A.5. Thank you.
Object.
There's an objection from Representative Klayman. Representative Kaufman, please proceed.
All right, thank you. And thanks for the coaching. So, again, the concept here is local control. If a certain school board sees a better opportunity or a new emerging opportunity that seems to fit their purposes better, that's the spirit in which this is offered, that the local school board would have control and may require, as opposed to the state setting the requirement. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Kaufman, and I'll speak in opposition to this amendment. As I think I referenced earlier, very sympathetic to the spirit, and I'm generally very cautious about state requirements and mandates, and in fact have had a lot of dialogue with both AASB and the OSCA Superintendents Association through the years about looking at what maybe the legislature can do to repeal a variety of state requirements that maybe were passed decades ago and have outlived their useful purpose or aren't working so well, et cetera, et cetera. So that said, given, you know, that's where I come from, the only reason I feel okay about this legislation, including the shall in this legislation, is the close coordination with stakeholders and that the affected parties are supportive of the bill and supportive of the shall. So given that the people that we're affecting with this legislation are supportive of it, that makes me feel confident in supporting the shall contained in HB 18 and therefore being in opposition to this amendment. Are there questions or comments from the committee for Amendment Number 3? Representative Eastman.
Thank you, and through the chair, I appreciate the amendment being offered and how it would, I guess, instead of it being a state mandate, it would be something that the local school board, you know, would have the authority to require take place within, you know, their school district. And that seems to me to be a a forward-thinking and long-term solution that's probably better than the state mandate option. I think maybe they both, you know, get to the same place as far as in the present, and I know there's some support from some school boards currently for this, but I also recognize that whether it's this or any other policy, that, you know, local control is something that is very important. And, you know, the school board that is supportive today, you know, may not be, either with someone on that board changing their mind or, of course, you know, after an election and those seats change and the, you know, the actual Alaskan voters in that school district, you know, may have a different opinion or may come up with a better way of solving this same issue. And so, you know, out of deference to future solutions, which may be bigger or better or smaller or better than we as legislators can currently see, I do support the amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Eastman. Other comments, questions? Representative Vance?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Overall, at the first glance at this bill, you know, I have a little bit of heartburn at requiring schools by law to display something that they're naturally going to be proud of. We want to celebrate our teachers and their achievement and encourage others to do the same. I think we're all supportive of that. But I have challenges in just legislating that they do this. But this amendment said that puts the it into the hands of the local school board that says, hey, we recognize that you are the governing body over the schools, and we want to encourage you to prominently display this. And so this amendment, I'm supportive of this because it allows me to fully embrace the intent of what you're doing in the bill that puts that encouragement into the hands of the local school board and in their ability to govern of what's best for the community. So I will be supporting this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've just been thinking, I'm so glad that Representative Story is on this committee and that this bill is going to the next committee of referral, where, you know, certainly very knowledgeable people on some of these issues might be able to revisit them, if, and then the stakeholders hopefully are listening in too, should they be hearing some things that they didn't think of first. But in discussion with you, it sounded like, you know, you, as you expressed, were feeling not comfortable with this because you had done it in close coordination. So that is influential in my thinking. But the other thing is just thinking, and perhaps kind of in my background in teaching, that, you know, you want someone to be incentivized possibly regardless of where they're going to teach in the state. But they're, you know, would the benefit seem the same if the recognition wasn't there? It is a big investment on the part of the teacher, both financial and time. So the reason I like us doing it this way is that from the teacher's perspective, they may feel it was a better investment because they know that, you know, any place they go in Alaska, this investment will be recognized and celebrated. And, you know, I'm sort of speculating here, but that may encourage them. And part of the goal here is to double the number of teachers who do this. So I just want to get that on the record as to why I'm not supporting it today, but appreciate the thinking on it. And I tend to be like Representative Christ Tompkins and other things that I've worked on. We've always left it at the local school board level. And so I hope if that's something, you know, that can come up later, if that's something they want. But given the overall goal of really trying to encourage teachers all across the state to think about this, I like the comprehensive approach.
Thank you, Representative Tarr. Further comments or questions before wrap up? Representative Story.
Thank you, Chair Christ Tompkins. Yes, I would say that I'm really glad it's going to education afterwards, because local control is, you know, very important. And so knowing that, ASB and the Superintendents Association were all in front of and looked at this bill, I'm glad that it will be coming to education. I will support the chair's bill on this because of the work that you've done with them, but I definitely will be bringing this back up in the education committee and asking their rationale behind that. So I appreciate I didn't even really realize until this amendment was brought forward that, and so I'll be looking forward to that discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Story. And then in wrap up, Representative Kaufman. You're not required to wrap up, but if you'd like to.
Thank you. Thanks for hearing my first amendment ever offered. I appreciate it. We were all here. And I guess now we go to a vote with the chair's permission.
Absolutely. Representative Klayman, do you maintain the objection?
I do.
Will the clerk please call the roll on passage of amendment number 3A.5?
Representative Kaufman.
Yes.
Representative Eastman.
Yes.
Representative Tarr.
No.
Representative Story.
No.
Representative Klayman.
No.
Representative Vance.
Yes.
Chair Christ-Tompkins.
No.
3 yeas, 4 nays.
By a vote of 3 yeas, 4 nays, passage of amendment number 3A.5 fails. Well presented, Representative Kaufman. It's a classic, a may versus shall. You're starting out in fine form. So this takes us back to the bill as a whole, and this is the third hearing, so we'll entertain final passage, and if there are comments from the committee, happy to hear those before we consider a motion. Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had brought up at the earlier committee hearing the idea of at least the state covering the cost of the participation in this certification program, just in the thinking that, and this I'm always thinking in this lens because I represent a low-income area, and so just thinking we wouldn't want to exclude someone who wasn't just financially able but otherwise interested. But given the situation we're in and that this bill does not otherwise have a fiscal note, I didn't come forward with an amendment on that, but I just wanted to express that I hope that's something we can consider if our circumstances improve, and just express gratitude for our teachers who do these additional investments to do better in their profession. It's great. Thank you.
Additional comments from the committee? Representative Eastman.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate the sponsor bringing the bill forward and the conversations that we've had. And I will be opposing the bill going forward as currently written, and I think there is some fruitful area of potential agreement for some of the conversations that we've started to have, and I don't mean to think that those conversations are over, but either in this committee or in the next committee, I hope they continue. And I would just offer a caution. You know, we are in this bill, you know, putting into statute a private organization, and as a private organization, you know, that group has the opportunity to take any number of positions on politics or religion or any number of other things which might be, they're certainly right to do. And yet we might find ourselves somewhere down the line when those items are either in conflict with other state priorities or are controversial and no longer supported by the people of Alaska. And so my hesitancy, and it would be the same with you know, even an organization that I was, you know, closely affiliated with and a member of and really supported, but putting them in statute opens the state up to sometimes liabilities in the future. And so I'm always hesitant whenever we're doing that and putting a private organization by name into statute. Thank you.
Representative Klayman.
Just want to thank the chair for bringing this bill forward. I think it's a good bill. It's really about teachers and giving teachers the opportunity to get a certification that they not only can be proud of, but will send a very positive message to students and parents about the quality of education they receive in our schools. Thank you.
And I'll make concluding remarks as the sponsor. Appreciate the committee deliberation. I share Representative Tarr's perspective. I think, you know, if there is an opportunity down the road to be able to reimburse teachers at minimum for the fees of this credential, that would be a great step for the state to take and a tremendous return on investment, and very consistent with a lot of other states around the country do. And the fact that, what are we at, 2%+ of Alaska teachers sacrifice their own nights and weekends and literally thousands of dollars to do this just for as a matter of professional pride is extraordinary, and I think worth celebrating and recognizing, which is, in part what this bill aims to do. And I understand where you're coming from a philosophical perspective, Representative Eastman. I think we're in a good place with precedent. there's private nonprofits written into law with TVEP and workforce development, and I think all of the concerns that you just cited would exist as much or more there. Tlingit Haida Central Council provides VPSO service in Southeast Alaska. That's a nonprofit consortium, and they actually do have political positions that I'm sure that we could find differing perspectives just around this table on, but that doesn't impede them from administering public safety in rural communities or being focused on that mission. So I understand where you're coming from. I just see it differently, but appreciate the committee's consideration of these amendments in the bill as a whole. And with that, a motion to discharge Representative Clayman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move approval of House Bill 18, drafting number 32-LS0168/A, with attached zero fiscal notes and committee comments.
I'll object.
There's an objection. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Vance.
No.
Representative Kaufman.
No.
Representative Eastman.
No.
Representative Tarr.
Yes.
Representative Story.
Yes.
Representative Clayman.
Yes.
Chair Christ Tompkin.
Yes.
Four yeas, three nays.
By a vote of four yeas and three nays, the motion to discharge House Bill 18 from State Affairs passes, and we'll circulate the paperwork as we proceed through the agenda.
Mr. Chairman, can we take a brief at ease?
Absolutely. Brief at ease. Record, and we're at House Bill 62 on today's agenda. This is the second full hearing of this legislation, and we previously heard invited testimony as well as saw a video from the sponsor. Brief introduction and discussion. At this point, I'm gonna, there's another invited testifier, Joe Connolly from Chugach Peaks Photography, although I'm not seeing him online, but I'll keep an eye out if he joins us. But public testimony was notified on this legislation, so what I'm gonna do now is open public testimony for House Bill 62. And I see two agency experts available to answer questions, but no public testifiers online, so I'm going to close public testimony in this time for House Bill 62. I think before we take up amendments, and there were a number submitted, just want to give an opportunity for the sponsor staff to make any additional comments that they might want to the committee.
Mr. Chair, I don't think we have any additional comments. There may be questions that may come up during the amendments. I'm certainly happy to answer any questions that folks may have. I would note for, I guess there's only, two that may be. This bill follows up House Bill 20 that passed in 2018 that expanded the list of people that can solemnize marriage to include elected public officials. And so that was a bill that passed, I think, 29-6 in the House and 17-2 in the Senate back in 2018.
Thank you, Representative Clayman. With that, we'll take up amendments, and maybe we'll start with your amendments first, Representative Eastman. And the first one I have in front of me is Amendment A.2, Representative Eastman.
Yep. I move Amendment A.2, Amendment Number 1.
I'll object.
There's an objection. Representative Eastman.
Thank you. Yes, the amendment is here before us dealing with House Bill 62, which is the marriage bill. And the amendment simply makes it clear that we are not trying to compel or coerce or legally force anyone to preside over a wedding or a marriage here in this state. We're one of the states that allows anyone to preside over a wedding, and I think that's allows for a lot of opportunities. And my wife and I took advantage of that when we were married. We had a friend preside over our marriage and sign our marriage license. And the only requirement that we have currently in Alaska is that you be 18 years old. But you don't need to be a resident of Alaska or a U.S. citizen. You don't have to have a particular, you know, criminal record or lack of one. Anyone and everyone can preside over a wedding. You know, if someone wants you to marry them, you have that opportunity. And so in that context, I think it makes good sense that we have a part of statute that says that, you know, there's various people who preside over weddings. We're not going to require them as a matter of law to, you know, to perform that service. They can. Any of us as legislators, you know, can do that. And but you want to make clear that whereas it calls us out specifically and says that we don't have a requirement to marry someone, it does not call others out in that same spirit. And so this would make that uniform, since anyone can do a marriage. If you can't find at least one person in the state who wants to marry you, that might be reason to reconsider your life choices. And so this is just to make that clear. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Houston. Before we go on, I just want to note that available for questions on any amendment are both Nancy Mead with the Alaska Court System and Rebecca Topol, Chief of the Health Analytic and Vital Records Section or Division of HESS. So they're available at any time. Let's see. Okay. Representative Clayman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I oppose amendment number A.2. This is actually the same amendment that Representative Eastman proposed on the floor in 2018 to House Bill 20. That amendment failed by a vote of 6 yeas and 29 nays. And the real impact of this amendment is that it would mean that judges who right now part of their statutory duty is to execute the laws and set their political and religious and personal opinions aside and do as the court is required to do, which is to perform certain ceremonial functions and preside and basically enforce the law as has been written and interpreted by the courts. I think at the last hearing when this came up, Ms. Mead from the court system explained the reason why including subparagraph A2 as those that would be able to articulate their personal desire not to solemnize a marriage would be a problem for the court system. So I'd actually defer and let Ms. Mead address that particular issue as to subparagraph 2, because that's the significant change in amendment A2, is that instead of saying that all religious officials, rabbis, ministers, any religious official as well as elected public officials could decline for any reason to solemnize a marriage, this would now add and allow a judge to allow their personal opinion to interfere with their official duty. But I would rather have Ms. Mead address that issue then.
Ms. Mead, if you can hear us, can you please put yourself on record and speak to the question identified by Representative Clayman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Nancy Mead. I'm the general counsel for the Alaska court system. This amendment, as Representative Clayman previously mentioned, was discussed, I'm not positive if it was the exact same form previously, with respect to HB 20 a couple of years ago. I would reiterate that it does present a problem and an actual conflict for judges if a statute were to say that a judge doesn't have a duty to do something, and at the same time, their ethical obligations are to handle any case that comes before them and consider and decide matters and to do everything fairly, and judges do not have the ability to simply turn something down or not do a duty because of personal belief or because of something like that. Given that this amendment would create that very real conflict for judges, I think it would be quite problematic, and I would be happy to take any further questions about that.
Are there further questions, Representative Kaufman?
Thank you. Through the chair, I guess I wonder, other than judges, as the current statute is written, I just want to be sure I understand, can others be forced to perform a marriage? In a state where everyone can, is there anyone other than judges that would be statutorily required to perform a marriage?
I'm going to assume that question is for me, Nancy Mead.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Through the chair, Representative, the amendment, as I read it, would then say that marriage commissioners or judges would need to do marriages. However, the effect on marriage commissioners is really non-existent, because the way it works to get a marriage commission is somebody goes to the court after a couple has worked with them or asked them or requested of them to become a marriage commissioner for that marriage. And so the marriage commissioner, if they didn't want to do it, would have previously said no and would not be appointed as a marriage commissioner. So I can't think of a circumstance where any marriage commissioner would be forced to do something, because they would simply say no to the couple and not show up at the court and pay their $25 to become a commissioner. I'm not positive I answered your question, but that's how I read the amendment.
Follow-up, Representative Coughlin.
Thank you. Yes, follow-up. Through the chair, so there's one-time marriage commissioners per wedding, I assume. What about individuals that are somehow standing marriage commissioners? Is there such a thing, or is it a one-time thing over and over?
Through the chair, Representative, it is almost always a one-time thing over and over, as in a couple asks somebody to marry them and the person goes and gets a one-time commission for that couple. You are correct in that there is the possibility. It's quite rare, and it only exists in some districts, but there is a possibility a couple times a year, for example, somebody could get a longer-term marriage commissioner appointment. And again, though, the thought that that person would be forced to marry somebody is theoretical, in my opinion. The marriage commissioner statute, which is 2505081, does say that the marriage commissioner has to solemnize marriages in the same manner as a district judge or magistrate. But I think it would be an extremely rare circumstance that somebody would go to a marriage commissioner and the marriage commissioner expressed disinterest in marrying them and would somehow be forced through it. But you are correct that in theory some people have longer term commissions.
Thank you.
Representative Eastman.
Thank you. So in wrap up, I find the comments.
Mr. Chair, I actually had one other comment to make.
Okay. Before we get to wrap up, Representative Eastman, Representative Clayman.
I just want to follow up on what Ms. Mead said. I think that the practical reality in terms of marriage commissioners is that they get requested to perform a ceremony, and they've already agreed to it before they get the certificate. And actually, in working on House Bill 20, one of the more interesting events that occurred, I think getting on the plane to go back to Anchorage, and Federal District Court Judge Burgess was on the plane, and he said, "Can I talk to you for a second?" I said, "Sure," and he said, "You know, I saw this House Bill 20 bill, and I really like it, but I have a problem with it. And the problem with it is that only state court judges get this, because I'm a federal judge, and I don't fall within your bill. Can't you amend your bill to allow federal judges to do this? Because I've married about six couples in the course of my life on the bench, and every time I have to go down to the state courthouse and wait in line to get a certificate so I can marry them." So we actually looked into that and realized that trying to create language that specifically allowed federal judges in Alaska, which there are not very many, to create language to make that work was way too complicated. And so Judge Burgess still has to go get a marriage certificate. But he's somebody that was a perfect example of somebody that would come to him and say, "Can you do this?" And he would either, I think he just said, "Every time I'm the one that gets in line, I don't even ask the couple to do that." But it's an example of really people are either asked to do it and they get a certificate, or they're never asked. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Clayman. And wrap up, Representative Eastman.
Thank you. And yes, this does go back to a problem that we created in a previous piece of legislation, which this would be a solution for. And I find it notable that this is one of those few times when the courts appear to be asking the legislature to not allow judges discretion, which in any other case, usually the courts might support judicial discretion, you know, when there's, you know, cases before them and so forth. And what the issue that this amendment, you know, calls for is that you have, you know, some who are now equating marriage with the idea that it's kind of just a rubber stamp, and anyone, you know, should, you know, sign a marriage certificate for no other reason than someone is asking them to. And I think that's a departure from the historic way that we have as a state looked at marriage and what is talked about marriage in our state constitution. And if you have a situation where it's a judge or a marriage commissioner who is at the moment in time looking at two people who have come before them and you know, has expressed a desire not to marry them for whatever reason, maybe they're, you know, they learned more about the situation after they applied to be a marriage commissioner, and now that the two people are in front of them, they're you know, have qualms and hesitations. We ought to give them the same rights that we have given ourselves as legislators in statute. I mean, we call ourselves out in this statute and say that we, as legislators in that situation, would not be required to marry them, but a judicial commissioner or a judge would be. And so that's a disparity in the law which exists after the passage of House Bill 20, and this amendment would correct that disparity. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Eastman. Is the objection to Amendment Number 1 maintained?
Yes.
Will the clerk please call the roll on passage of Amendment Number 1A.2?
Representative Clayman.
No.
Representative Vance.
Yes.
Representative Kaufman.
Yes.
Representative Eastman.
Yes.
Representative Tarr.
No.
Representative Story.
No.
Chair Christ Tompkins.
No.
3 yeas, 4 nays.
By a vote of 3 yeas, 4 nays, passage of Amendment Number 1, A.2, fails. And the hour is 3:51 p.m. So given our current pace, I think it may make sense to hold off on taking up Amendment Number 2, keeping in mind that DOA Finance Subcommittee is looking to gavel in at 4 o'clock in this room. But I do want to take up a housekeeping item before we gavel out for the day, which is to designate a vice chair. So at this moment, I'm going to move to make Representative Clayman the vice chair of the House State Affairs Committee. Is there any objection? Seeing none, the motion carries. And on Thursday, we're going to be I think we'll start off with taking up the additional three amendments on House Bill 62 and try to get through those. And then we also have House Bill 44, and I think it's probably accurate to say, if time allows, House Bill 106. And we also have a Saturday hearing, as I think everybody is aware. And so whatever we don't get to on Thursday, we will also in turn roll to Saturday and have a full 2 hours. So that's what the rest of the week looks like. Thank you, Sophia and Tom, for facilitating today, and also Jeff, who's the committee aide and doing a fabulous job. And at 3:52 p.m., we are adjourned.